Yeah, 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 but chop down that slide. Like, ah. PD hoes rise, and they rise again. From the front line to leading mates and friends. Oh, this is just season, time to take a stand. Hey, hero makers, legends spreading across the land.
Yeah, it's your roof from Tassie, bouncing like a kid at a Bunnings sausage sizzle on a Saturday morn. Season 3's lit, laptop lifestyle, dad show, hero makers. Season is born from AI funnels to social selling grit. Now it's hero making time. Strap in, this is it, yo. I've hopped Tokyo's back streets, cop the LA glow, bringing yarns from the road, mate. Watch the wisdom flow from the kitchen bench, hustle to the big global stage. We're handing you the keys, now it's time to turn the page.
A few heroes rise.
The pumped up platypus from sunny QA, more bounce than a kid who spotted the ice cream van. You see, two Aussie dads, mate, bringing boom sauce seed, helping legends step up, take the driver's seat. We're not just here to yabba raw, spin you a line. We're handing you the mic so your voice can shine. From Tassie to Tokyo, Goldie to Perth, hero makers worldwide, lifting leaders of worth. Jeff Rules got the coffee double shot, mate, I'm wide. They platypus at the pool party, still floating that tide. Jeff from barbecues to boardrooms, we bring the yarns and the tools, helping legends lead strong and break all the rules.
Heroes rise, then they rise again. From the front line to leading mates and friends. This is your season, time to take a stand. Hero makers, legends spreading across the land.
Grab your brew, your notepad, and your crew. It's the laptop lifestyle dad show. Hero maker season, bringing heroes out of you.
Patty the Roo, platypus bringing the tricks.
Hero makers podcast, your daily boom soul spits.
Hero taps, then they rise again. From the front line to leading mates and friends. This is your season, time to take your stand. Hero makers, legends spreading across the land.
Rock, rock,
rock. Heroes rise, then they rise again. From the front line to leading mates and friends.
Well, welcome back, legends, to another episode with the Laptop Lifestyle Dad Show. This season has all about being the hero makers, you know, what it's required to focus on leaders who create other leaders, not just focusing on heroes. You know, the hero story is definitely part of the journey, but if it's just about celebrating your own success, just that part of it, it can turn into just about me, myself, and I very quickly. But when you focus on leadership that's focused on service, or it's servant-hearted leadership, it's focused on others, it's about empowering, equipping others, this is where I believe is where we get into the true heart of leadership. See, leadership is not about leading me. It's about how can I not just sort of compel and manipulate others to follow me, but how can I get them to follow me because they want to follow me? And I couldn't think of a better guest here today to unpack this with you all. Alana Calhoun, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for saying yes. Is it all right if we just get into it?
Oh, please. Yes. Yes, let's do it. Hi, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thank you. And I love to start each episode off with a bit of a grounding, you know, for our audience to get to know our guests better, you know, more intimate in that space. So the best way I found to do this, Alana, is to get people to share their story. Now, we don't want to get into the 2-hour version of the story. We probably just want the little 2-minute version. But I'd love for you just to share your story from like where you started, you know, what got you sort of into the space where you are now, and what it took to get there.
Okay. Well, yeah, we could have a few weeks here. But
In
a few minutes, I come from a robust family. I come from a wonderful family with lots of cousins and aunts and uncles, and grew up with them and always got together for the holidays and went to church together and went to school together. And then as I got older, everyone kind of moved off, including myself. I had a dream to be on stage. And so I took that dream to New York City, where I lived for 10 years and I pounded the pavement, as they say. But I was always very spiritual.
Mm.
And so while I was there, I found this wonderful center called the New York Holistic Open Center. And at the time, this was the 80s and 90s. Every guru in the world was invited over, or, you know, met Buddhists, monks, and the whirling dervish. And I was introduced to acupuncture and holistic medicine and meditation and Eastern philosophy. And it was just so cool. I loved it. And then, zip forward, I had my family. I moved back to Rochester, New York, which is my hometown. And I just love helping people. And I've been through a lot of suffering myself. Living in New York was not easy. It was, as an aspiring artist, very difficult. And I've gone through divorce. And and I know how it can take a toll on your health, your wealth, and your happiness. And
yes,
so
sure.
I made it my mission to really help others learn how to manage life when it jeopardizes those three things, because there will always be times. It's simply part of life and there's nothing wrong with it. But if you have the tools like meditation, like prayer, like yoga, like nutritious eating, like exercise, like walking and self-love, we were talking about that earlier, then you can be in it without getting knocked down.
I love that.
Move through it more gracefully.
Mm. I love that. So was this whole conversation, like, you know, the impact and the purpose of what you're all about, was this born from a space of like a bit of an identity crisis?
That's great. What a great question. Well, the identity crisis came when I moved back home, going through a pretty vicious custody battle.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and I needed to find a real job very quickly. And so I got my first 9-to-5 job and fell in love with it. I was I became the program director of a technology business incubator where I helped you know, people like you, a lot of people who are listening, to get your businesses up and running and hopefully succeed. And I found that these people needed me to help them to believe in themselves. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I became a coach because I love to inspire others. The other piece, Jeff, was the spiritual hand on my back. I've always felt very close to God, goddess, anything, you know, spiritual. And I have the ability to heal others. I can sit on a plane and a stranger will tell me their entire life.
I love that.
And we'll come to some resolution. So I do it naturally. And so I finally said, okay, I need to do more of this. And so I studied yoga and became a teacher, not just an instructor. And I studied Reiki, which is energy healing, then I teach others. And I became a certified nutritionist. And
I love that.
So, yeah. So, and I know entrepreneurship and I love entrepreneurs. So I basically work really with professionals and entrepreneurs to help them bring balance into their lives, teaching them the tools so that they continue up the ladder, growing and expanding their business without losing sight of their health and happiness.
I love that. And the reason I asked that question around the whole identity part is because I find it, there's some common threads in most entrepreneurial stories, right? And normally the common thread that I've seen is there's either a divorce, there's a health issue, there's COVID, you lost your business, there's something inside of that that almost, I don't know, It's the House of Cards come tumbling down. And then in that space, in that breaking down, there's breakthrough and a space to be built back up into the version that we're created to be. Whatever your beliefs are around faith and religion and all that sort of thing, I do believe there is a creator. And I believe that we're created to be a person that's a higher plane of ourselves. Like, the, you know, well, most of us are playing small, right? And there's a bigger version of ourselves out there, but it's not for us. It's for the greater good. And it's about service to the greater good in that space. But it normally takes, in my experience anyway, it normally takes the tumbling down of the House of Cards to fall apart a little bit for you to really find your true calling in that space. I love to go back to that moment. You know, you said you've just got, you know, you had a divorce, you know, and in that space, you found, you know, a new job, you know, 9 to 5 in your words, and you found yourself in that. Let's go back to that moment. What was it like for you to go through that? Let's not hold back. Let's talk about the warts and all of it all. And inside of that conversation, what was the true depth, you know, the true wisdom that you found for yourself that essentially drives you today?
The wisdom is that I can't save everyone. Mm. And I can serve, but people need to step into their own shoes, mm-hmm. into their own power, into their own dreams. And I can inspire, motivate, teach, and guide, and be the shoulder, and be the healer. But it's the other person. And that's whether you're my husband or my child or my client or my friend or a community. It's knowing that I can't change others. I can only stand in my power and let, like you said, really let my light shine brightly and stop playing so darn small.
Right. Right. And so it's now we turn into what I call a floodlight or a lighthouse, you know, a lighthouse on the hill type sort of conversation to show the light for others to follow. But just like the lighthouse, there is its job, his responsibility is to keep the light going. You know, and to show the, you know, the purpose of a lighthouse, to show the rocks that are out there in the ocean that's close to the cliffs to stop them from sinking. But the lighthouse is not responsible for those rocks, the ship not to hit the rocks. It's there to guide. It's there to shine the light on it all, but it can't control the outcome. There are other outside influences, the waves, the storms, and, you know, the things of life that sometimes, you know, guide and shape us and you know, put us into different scenarios and different circumstances. But the lighthouse keeps shining, right? The lighthouse keeps going for others to see that space and whatnot. So I find this, you know, just listening to your story and listening to myself speak at the moment, it's our job as hero makers to, you know, to shine the light bright for others to follow in that space. But yeah, we can't be attached to them doing the work. They have to do that themselves. You know, what has been your experience in this conversation, you know, as a coach, as a mentor, to be able to still be that lighthouse, but not be attached to the mess that some people get themselves into? Inevitably, I've been in my own mess. I'm sure you've been in your mess. And it's hard as leaders not to go in and try and save and rescue people to guide them through that because, you know, our hearts break for them. But at the same time, we know that the strength and the resilience that can come out of that conversation when they go through it sometimes themselves a little bit, and you know, iron sharpens iron, and it's our way to essentially nurture and guide people, but not rescue people. I'd love to unpack this a bit more.
Yeah. It's frustrating, quite frankly.
It is. I'm glad that you said that. That's refreshing because it is frustrating. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it certainly can be extraordinarily heartbreaking, you know, especially if it's someone you love. And I love some of my clients. I truly love them, you know. And I find that self-growth is not easy because we have to, as we mentioned to ourselves earlier, Jeff, we have to look in the mirror and see who we are. And know what our limitations are and what our strengths are. And often it's two sides of the same sword. And so it's so easy to point and blame and say, well, this isn't working, and therefore that's why my life isn't working, and that's why my business isn't working, etc. But in fact, you have to step out of that victimhood and step into your complete and total power and purpose so that your light can shine, so that you can see with clarity and speak with conviction and know who you are. You don't need to be anyone else. Nobody wants you to be someone you're not, right? You have value. Yeah. Every single person out there has value.
Yeah. And I think that's a part of that floodlight experience, right? Is we have to know ourselves, the good, the bad, the toxic, the good side of it all, what triggers us, what sets us on fire, what motivates us in that. Because we are walking, talking skin bags full of human emotion at the end of the day, right? We're spiritual creatures having a human experience. And we need to understand what makes us tick so we can make understand what makes other people tick. And I know in my journey, like I'm a high school dropout. I didn't go to university to get, you know, get an understanding of this conversation. This has just been through the school of life and just being a student obsessed with this whole conversation, reading all the books and doing it through my own experience. So I've gone from, you know, that person from the layman to where I am today. I've gone from being the victim, you know, being essentially the abuser in the conversation, to being the person who's taken ownership of that, to stepping up and growing up, if you will, to stepping into that from just being a boy into actually being a man, in a man that's in a healthy context in that leadership, to go through that and still growing through that, by all means, you know, in that transformational journey. But the big thing, the catalyst in that conversation, was I had to learn how to love something bigger than myself. I call it God. Some people call it goddess. Some people call it Buddha, whatever that is. But there needs to be something in that conversation that is bigger than us, that we're working towards and serving. Then in that side of that conversation, and we need to love ourselves, and we can only love ourselves if we know ourselves. And inside of that, that allows us to and helps us to be a person of love for others, to love our neighbors in that space, right? And I feel that if we can do this together as a collective, as a humanity, you know, we can help solve so many of the world's problems in this space. And it's a complex undertaking, it's a messy undertaking, but it starts with that inner journey, not the outward journey. But it starts from a space of not being narcissistic or feeding the ego. It has to be about service to the greater good. What's been your experience through, you know, learning your self-worth, your self-love, your self-evaluated, your self-wisdom in that space? Can you shine a light, some insight to this conversation?
Oh, sure. You know, I think we all get kicked down in life, each and every one of us, regardless of how successful we are. You know, to me, it's always surprising when a superstar, rock star, ends their life. Like, why? You have everything. You're gorgeous. You have everything. Right? But internally, we have to have that strength, that internal strength. And yes, I do agree that having a belief in something higher than yourself, even if that higher self is the conscious current. This is something I've learned in, and I just love the sound of that, because it's non-theistic, although I do believe personally in God, but it's beautiful. It says that there is this beautiful current of energy that flows through each and every single one of us. It flows through me. It flows through you. It flows through everyone that's listening. And when we connect to that, we feel the peace and we feel the alignment, and we can be more understanding of not only ourselves, but others. And you talked about working hand in hand. Yes. And yet there's so much opposition, but that's what brings excitement to life. It might be overdramatic. It might be fanatic, but it's what life kind of, you know, it's the fire. It's in the fire. So how can you still live in fire and passion without being hurtful or violent or abusive? So there's no need. there's no need. We don't have to see eye to eye. It's what, you know, opposites attract all the time.
Yeah.
So that we can learn from each other.
Yeah. That very much sums up my marriage.
Definitely. Most
definitely two opposites, right? So let's share for our audience. I'd love to, you know, pick your brain a little bit here and get into it. You know, at the end of the day, this whole conversation for me, it comes down to, I for my brain to be able to process things, I need to break it apart and look at it. So how do we help people go from one, you know, basically before to after, you know, where we are now, where we're going, you know, it's the left and the right of the conversation, the yin and the yang of the conversation, probably a better word. So I see here in this whole conversation, essentially there's two types of energy. We've got fear-based energy and we've got love-based energy. Now, I know if I have millions of dollars and I'm always operating out of fear-based energy, I'm probably going to start to lean into greed and selfishness and those concepts. You know, like you talked about the rock star and, you know, taking their life and that type of thing. I see a lot of lifestyles, you can look from the outside in, and this is no judgment. It's not pointing fingers. It just is what it is to give it some context. There's a lot of people operating out of fear-based energy and causing anxiety and stress in their lives, right? But I also see the opposite to that when the same person is, you know, has wealth and has the health and has the abundance of finances and joy and love in their life, operating out of a love-based energy, then it's a completely different conversation. So you help a lot of people in that space to find their passion, to, you know, to find their purpose and lean into that, you know, the holistic approach to it, what you do. So how do you help people navigate this scenario between fear and love?
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful question. And it reminds me of one of the exercises I work with clients is the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. To magnify what you want. And I think the most important aspect of attracting what you want is to know how it is going to serve you and how it's going to serve everyone else in your life.
Powerful.
And it's an example. If I want a red convertible with, I don't know, you know, and it doesn't fit in my garage, and then I've got to make another arrangement, and I can't afford it, and then I have to shift, and then my husband's always wanted the red convertible, and I got it first. And, you know, these are just kind of like silly things, but it puts it into perspective. You know, why do you want $1 million? Why do you want the car? How is it going to serve you? How will it serve others? If it can only seat two people and you've got a family of five, how does it serve you? So not to say not to do something, but think about it. And I think a lot of it is our career paths and our love lives. You know, how does that make you feel inside and out? Financially, it's going to be secure. That's beautiful. You can take care of your health insurance and the health insurance of your family. But if you hate your job, it just doesn't matter because your health is going to go out the window. So there are things to look at. Why do I want to coach others? It's not to bring me fame and riches. It's to fulfill my life purpose. I feel completely centered and natural in my complete nature when I sit across from someone and say, how are you? How can I help you? And listen.
But see, the key thing there is through both examples that you just shared and what I was talking about is it about serving me, myself, and I, or is it about how can I be of service to others? It's all about otherness. And I think when you can get out of your own ego, me, myself, and I conversation, and I know this is true to my story, you know, I've had millions of dollars in that space. And when it was it just about serving me and my agenda and my family and all of that sort of thing, all money did was it just amplified all my problems. And it amplified the heart, the greed of it all. And I had to go through some very strong transformative work in that space to to not make it about me, but to make it about others and to be of service to others. And it's a totally different conversation. And inside this, there's so much more purpose and joy when you're working towards service to others, I find.
Yeah.
I think this is very timely. I actually put up, it's funny how these things work, right? I didn't know that we were going to have this conversation today because this is unscripted. But I put up a post about 2 hours ago on Facebook, and I wanted to, and I think this sort of sums up the conversation, and I want to unpack this with you and get your thoughts of it. So essentially the whole thing it comes around is about money, right? You know, money can be a tool to create awesome expansion on the kingdom resources and the mission, or it can be a tool to feed the greed and in that space of what. So money's not the problem here. It's a character deficiency or a lack of character or a strong character, which is the highlight of this conversation, right? So this is what I put here in this post. It's what I'm learning about money and the heart. And by very much, I'm still learning, still growing, still figuring out what it really means to build wealth without losing your soul. There was a time in my life when I had access to millions, and instead of bringing peace, it just made the cracks in my character louder. Because I've learned money doesn't change who you are. It reveals who you already are becoming. I've seen firsthand the heartbreak that greed can cause. It's tore my family apart. It's tested me as a person. And for a long time, I thought money itself was the problem. The more I had, the more my problems were amplified. But over the years, I've come to realize it's not about the money. It's about mentorship. It's about mindset. It's about leadership, essentially discipleship. Without guidance, without healthy leadership, money becomes a master. But when your heart is anchored in faith, purpose, and service, money becomes a tool. It's a resource for good. Now, I'm still learning how to steward this very well. I haven't got it mastered by any means. I'm still a student in this space. And I'm still learning how to stay generous when things are tight and humble when things are overflowing. But honestly, I'm grateful for my mentors who have helped me see that the real goal isn't to chase success, it's to grow our character. Because true freedom doesn't come from having more, it comes from becoming more. So if you're somewhere out there on the same journey, learning, unlearning, growing, well, guess what? You're not alone. And so let's learn how to lead with love. Let's learn how to lead with our hearts and guide our hands. And essentially for me, you know, Alana, this whole conversation comes down to, you know, everybody's got a bit of an assignment on their lives, right? They've got a calling. They've got the thing that they're yearning to become. But without alignment with your head, with your heart and your hands and your soul, then, you know, money becomes a very powerful tool that can lead us down the wrong path. I'd love to unpack this a little bit. We're coming up to sort of, you know, 25 minutes in this episode, but I'd love to just keep going with this a little bit longer and just get your insights to help us to pull this together.
Well, it was very powerful what you just spoke of, this bringing it all together. And I think everyone is different on their path with their relationship with money. And gratitude is the word that I find is the most important. I'm going to give an example. I was meditating in my sunroom, which is also my healing room. I bring clients there and coach. And I was just thinking about money, like, you know, why is it hard? Where's the money? And then settle into a peaceful state. And I open my eyes and looked around me and said, these are my riches.
There you go.
These. So whenever you're feeling like you don't have enough, try that. Close your eyes, take a few deep breaths in, settle in, and then open your eyes and look. My goodness.
Yeah.
These are my riches. These are your riches.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing. And it really sums up this conversation around leadership, right? Because we can't lead others if we can't lead ourselves. And we can't help others to lead others if we don't know the true heart of the conversation here, which is to create a community, to create leaders, to create help ourselves to be a person of generosity, a person of gratitude, a person of love at the end of the day. And I remember having a conversation about 5 years ago with this beautiful grandma. And now this lady, beautiful person I'm thinking of, she's 80, mid-80s. I won't give her a full 80 anyway. I'll give her some grace. But she's just this beautiful person of grace and love and has so much richness to the conversation. And Alana, I see the same qualities in you in that space. And you know, I remember what Anne said to me. She says, Jeff, I want to grow up and I want to, I'm in my 80s and I still want to grow up, but I want to grow up to be a person who is sweet, who is like a rich wine. You know, as a wine ages, it gets sweeter. It gets more potent. It gets more in that space, right? That's why, you know, people pay lots of money for wines that are, you know, centuries years old and older. But then, yeah, the opposite to that is if you open up that wine and, you know, it gets stale, it gets vinegar or it gets bitter, you know? And so, you know, it's to be a person who's sweet, not bitter. You know, there are so many people in the world, and it basically comes back down to fear and love, right? There are so many people that I've seen that I've helped in my own family and everything else, basically just let fear control their lives. And they've become like vinegar. They become bitter. And then, but with people who let love and joy and abundance and peace and work towards that side of the conversation, I find those people become rich. They become rich in flavor and become bold. They become full of life. They become full of flavor. They become like love. And I see that you in yourself, Alana, and you're about to launch a book. And so I want to talk about that as well. But I just thank you very much for jumping on, being a guest here for the Laptop Lifestyle Dad Show and bringing your rich aroma to the conversation here. But I'd love you to just give yourself an opportunity here to give yourself a bit of a plug for your book and the purpose, the impact that you see for this book. And also, you know, if our audience wants to reach out and have a conversation with you, where can they find you?
Thank you for this. The book that is soon to be released is called Creating Abundance: Access Your Inner Wisdom to Manifest Radiant Health, Wealth, and Happiness. And it's the story of what I teach everyone. And much of the information in the book is in a program that I created called Being in Balance, Creating Abundant Life. And I move through the different stories with different clients and their stories. People who've lost everything, whether it was from divorce or losing a job or you know, illness, the things you said, and then doing the work, saying, I'm where I am today and I don't want to be here anymore. How can I rise back up without being bitter? And you can.
Yeah.
And forgiveness is the key right there, everyone. Forgiveness, not only forgiving others and forgiving circumstances, more than anything, it's about forgiving yourself. All of it.
We're probably going to have to come back for a second episode just to talk about forgiveness, because I can go down that rabbit hole. And we will have to come back for that another time. But yeah, forgiveness is powerful. And I see, like, love, you know, when the Bible talks about love, I've come to understand that, you know, when it talks about forgiveness, it talks about mercy, it talks about, you know, empathy, peace and joy and all of that sort of stuff. What it's actually describing is all the attributes, all of the faces of love.
Mm.
And, you know, this whole conversation today, Alana, if I had to put a bow on it, this has been about love. And this is about being about helping us to love ourselves. And part of that is learning to forgive ourselves. And I say all the time that the only reason my marriage has survived as long as it has, but now is thriving as well, is because we've learnt the art, or learning the art of true forgiveness, you know. And yeah, that's some powerful stuff. So I think I need to give this conversation a little bit more time, just to let it brew a bit. So I do want to ask you, so how do we learn how to forgive ourselves?
Through prayer, silent meditation and reflection, not running and avoiding the pain and suffering, but leaning into it, allowing yourself to yell, not at anyone, just to release the emotions, to release the fear, release the anger, write it out. Use a journal, write it on your computer, just write a letter to whoever, to whatever, and then throw it away, burn it. But it's getting it out of your body, out of your brain, so that it's not consuming you and destroying you, because that's who you're destroying. Anytime you hold anger and resentment toward anyone, whether you think they deserve it or not, you're the one who's suffering too, even more so, because they might not even know. You know, they don't know what's going on in your head. You're carrying this, you know, rock. Let the rock break apart. Forgive them, and then forgive yourself for holding on, and forgive yourself for whatever part it is. And maybe you were doing too much for them.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So for our listeners, if you'd love to really get into this conversation, I highly recommend grabbing Alana's book when it's launched. And it's gonna have some really deep, rich wisdom on this. This is just the tip of the iceberg conversation, the 10,000 foot overview. So Alana, thank you very much for jumping on and just having a conversation with me about this. It's been brilliant. And I can't wait to have you back as a guest, come back around for the second time. And we'll go a lot deeper into this conversation around forgiveness or unforgiveness even. What's that saying? Unforgiveness is like in drinking poison, expecting the other person to die. And then I want to just leave our audience with this. If you're not forgiving yourself, if you're harboring unforgiveness for yourself, guess what you're doing? You're still drinking that same poison, expecting yourself to die. So if I can give you any words of wisdom today and off the back of Alana's conversation, do whatever it takes to process and learn to forgive. Alana, thank you very much for this amazing conversation.
Thank you, Jeff.